Thank you, Adrian. Lots of clicks going on there. Well, I didn't think I'd have to follow Bluey and Steph. Half my sermon's already done, anyway. And I may upset some Bluey fans, so hey, let's go for it. Where are we? Today we're talking about oaths, and it's not a word we use very much these days. It's sort of like not something you hear in common conversation too often about oaths. But this is all part of the Sermon on the Mount, continuing on the series in Matthew. So let's have a look at the scripture. This is from the NIV, probably one of the most recognizable versions. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Okay. It's sort of a little bit of cultural context. It was very common practice in the time of Jesus for people to swear an oath when they meant something to be taken seriously. So they'd, and you see it right through the Old Testament, they swear by this or they swear by that or they take an oath to this. And you see it a lot in ancient Greek and Roman mythology as well, you know, by the power of Thor, I swear that I'll do this and, you know, live in the Marvel Universe for a while, you see it there. It was like a promise or a contract, a vow, a covenant or a pledge, lots of words that get used. But it was meant to add weight to the words being spoken or the agreement being made. So they'd make an oath and they'd seal it with something. They'd make a promise to someone, they'd seal it by the shedding of blood or by the sacrifice of an animal or something like that. So people would swear or make an oath by something greater than themselves to give it oomph, so like God or heaven. I mean, I guess we have some modern equivalents like, you know, I swear on my mother's grave, which is hard when your mum was cremated and her ashes scattered, but hey, anyway. Or I cross my heart and hope to die. I mean, sayings like that, that sort of you think, well, really? But Jesus pretty clearly calls out this practice as wrong. He's pretty blunt. Some translations going so far as to phrase it as from the evil one. Which are pretty strong words. But why is it such a big deal? To start to answer that, I think we need to get a feel for the significance of our words. Time for a... Hello. And I've lost my place. Here we go. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Or a little later in Proverbs, one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. And this one's a little bit confronting. In Matthew, a little bit later in Matthew, I tell you that for every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. So pretty clearly our speech matters. What comes out of our mouth matters. I think we get an interesting insight into the scripture when we look at how the Message translation renders it. Now I know that the Message is not considered generally an accurate translation, a literal translation, but it sometimes helps uncover the nuances of the verses. So it says it like this. Don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it, or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. And Bluey actually pointed that out. When the dad said, will you carry my books? Sorry, I don't know the names. They're little dogs. I always thought Bluey was a boy. Apparently it's a girl. Sorry. But it was sort of like he manipulated that due promise before he showed what he was promising, the size of the books. It really brings into the focus onto not so much the act of making the oath, but the reason that people were doing it. And it seems that Jesus' take on it was that it was often being done as a way of deceiving or manipulating. By trying to add credence to their words, they were actually revealing that they probably had no intention of keeping those words. So what Jesus is really addressing here is a matter of integrity. Now, integrity is a word we do hear a lot. Whether it's the Police Integrity Commission in a news report or whatever. Let's look at a couple of contexts. So it might be, and I didn't put this one on here, the condition of being unified or sound in construction. So a building has integrity, means it's probably not going to fall down, unlike a lot that have seemed to be being built at the moment. Internal consistency of lack of corruption in electronic data, and that's in my world of IT. You talk about data integrity, it means it's consistent. You know, the name here is the same as the name there, it all matches up. The state of being whole and undivided, or the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Now, they're all out of the Oxford Dictionary, so it must be true because it's the English version. You can see, even though there's those different contexts, the underlying idea is one of consistency, of wholeness, of oneness, of unity even. It's more than just honesty. You can be honest and deceive. Think about that one. You actually can. You can use honesty in a deceptive way. But it's deeper than that because it comes down to their, like they use the words there, having strong moral principles. It's about a deep inner consistency between your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So see, the problem with oaths or swearing by something, or, Bluey, forgive me, promising, is that they actually devalue your word. So I say I'll do something for someone and they say, do you promise? It means they actually don't believe I'll do it, unless I make it stronger by saying, I promise. So they're really not, they're doubting my word by saying, oh, I don't think you mean it, will you promise? So the act of, it's sort of, you know, it speaks to integrity. Jesus said to simply say yes or no. Or as some translations, let your yes be yes or your no be no. You don't need to embellish on that. Our word should be enough. We should have the integrity that our words line up with our hearts and minds. That when we say we'll do something, we intend with our minds and with our hearts and our desire, sorry, we intend with our minds and desire with our hearts to follow that through. Now, we live in a real world. Sometimes things happen and you can't. That's not like major sin. You've intended to do the right thing. You've intended to keep your word. Sometimes things just happen and you can't. When that happens, own it. Speak to the person. Make it good. Do what you can about it. That doesn't undermine the integrity. It just, life happens sometimes. But the intent should always be, if you say, I will, then you will. Or that, you know. So I don't want to bag out Bluey, but I think what we saw reflects really on the sad state of our society, that people's words aren't true, that people so often don't take their word as binding, that, you know, they'll say they'll do something and they don't really have intent in that, they don't really have a commitment to follow through on that. And so they sort of, we've got to that place where if you don't say, I promise, or I swear by this, or I give an oath, that it's not taken seriously because we've undergraded our own integrity by our history of what we've done in the past. And I'm not pointing individuals. I think as a society as a whole, our words mean nothing. I mean, you know, it's just a standard joke of politicians' promises coming up to elections. You know they're not going to keep them. It's sad, but it's true. It's just where society's at. I want to suggest that it's, as Jesus followers, let's be countercultural by actually meaning it when we say we'll do something. Say what we mean and mean what we say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That should be all that you need to do. Okay, just want to pray for us. Lord, you are integrity personified. Everything you said you do, you did. Every promise you've made, every vow you made, you kept. Lord, help us to hold ourselves to that same standard. Lord, that our words will be true. That our heart intent and our mind's desire will be true. And that our yes will be yes and our no will be no. Amen.